Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
It is Royce Unchained. And Patrick, have you ever seen an old guy play as well as Phil did in winning the PGA Championship?
Yes, I have, but I haven't seen him win. I haven't seen anybody play like that because he played mediocre. You know, he shot 73, tough golf course, obviously.
Yep.
But, and he hit five or six really incredible shots, and you know, but he won because Brooks Koepka puked. Okay, he puked. He threw up. He starts off. He makes a birdie, and Phil makes a bogey, and he's one ahead of him. And now the easiest hole on a golf course, par five. You know, the second, and yeah, it was playing to 4.5 strokes. Everybody was birdieing it. He makes seven for no reason other than utter stupidity. He makes seven. All of a sudden, Phil's back ahead of him by two strokes because Phil makes birdie.
Mm-hmm.
And Koepka hits it 8 miles. And at the end of the day, Koepka's three over on the four par fives and Phil's three under. And there's the tournament. And Phil played good. But I looked at it Saturday night. Looked at the leaderboard and I said, the only guy he's got to beat is Koepka. Louis Oosthuizen isn't going to beat him. Louis Oosthuizen played his best 10 years ago. He's an ordinary player. Kevin Streelman's not going to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
There was really none of the good players were chasing him. That golf course is the trickiest, funkiest golf course there is. The other thing he had going for him is nobody's going to shoot 64. It's too funky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he can shoot one over and win. But he did keep in fair territory, which is the reason that he's been terrible playing with the big boys is he's been hitting it in the woods three times around and making double bogeys. And at that course, if you hit it off the map, you're in with the crocodiles and the alligators and the
a couple of them.
The weeds and the water, and it's the most tricked up golf course in America.
You like it?
No. Well, I like watching it, right. But I was looking at it saying, at the height of my game, if I counted them all,
yeah,
could I break 200? And I couldn't. No, because some holes you'd make like 26, you know. So, but, you know, congratulations to him. But it's not like he went out and seized the tournament. Everybody gave it to him.
Give us old guys a break, okay?
That's fine. He's, you know, I don't like him as a guy. I never have. From the first time I covered him at the Masters with this phony smile and the phony thumbs up and the phony BS. He's always got some lingo to explain why he's carrying two drivers or while he's, you know, now it's meditation. He's just doing such a great job of meditation. When he's sitting there with his eyes closed, meditating strictly for the TV cameras, strictly for the he's not meditating, for God's sakes. He's just being Phil, giving you something to talk about. And by the way, if Patrick Reed would have taken a couple of the drops he took, we'd all think it was scandalous. He somehow hits it in the woods I mean, he hits it in the weeds, and he's standing there on the and he's hitting it off the short rough because he's, you know, found a sprinkler head or some damn thing. And then the other time he hits it under a golf cart. By the time he's done dropping the ball, he's got a wide open shot. So he didn't cheat, but he tried. He improved his.
The officials gave him a break?
They gave him a break. Sure, they're damn old guys.
The refs are always out to get everybody.
They're old fat guys again, just like him.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's full of baloney. Always, always full of baloney, and congratulations to him. And anyway, I did, when you saw that crowd, though, mobbing up.
Yeah.
The diversity of it was very impressive, didn't you think? I haven't seen that much diversity since January 6th after that Trump speech. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
What a mob.
Where was the security was my question.
They thought that was... Yeah, some idiot said, yeah, let them out. First of all...
That's not normal,
first
right?
First of all, that golf course takes longer to play than any place because you got to map out every shot, right? I mean, it's not like the fairway just sitting out there and then you can, you know, if you hit it 1.5% off line, you're in the weeds. So it takes forever to play. Mm-hmm. They were all, half of them were drunk, and now you're going to let them out on the fairway? For God, no. I mean, Koepka's lucky that he got.
Well, he was pissed.
He was not happy.
Yeah, he was upset.
And he wasn't happy with a couple of those drops that Phil gave him, too. You could see him staring over there. And then Phil... When Phil was over there negotiating his drop after he hit it on the golf cart, he said to Brooks, he yelled over, hey, Brooks, go ahead and hit if you want to. And I think Faldo was on or said, Brooks isn't going to hit until he finds out what he hits. You know, he's not going to figure out what shot he wants to hit until he finds out if Phil manages to get this perfect drop before he's done negotiating here. So anyway. But he won, so good enough. And he is amazingly limber. He hit it long, and he hit it in the middle. Next time he plays, he'll miss the cut. He'll hit it in the boondocks and miss the cut. This was like that rare miracle that you see in golf. You know, I always say the greatest miracle I ever saw in golf was Ben Crenshaw won at Augusta in the 80s when he was a really good player. And he was... 95, he couldn't break an egg. He was god-awful, and his lifelong instructor and pal, role model, Harvey Penick, died. He went and gave the eulogy at Harvey's funeral on Wednesday, came back and won the Masters, and never won again. And I think he won once on the seniors. I mean, he couldn't play. He couldn't play for like 6 years before that. He could never play after it. How he won, it's golf. It's goofy.
I remember that storyline, yeah.
It's golf. It's goofy. And this is goofy. He won. And I wonder if he got a call from Tiger. Probably did.
Yeah, I would guess
so. They don't
so.
Get along at all, but, you know, because Tiger's a nice guy and he's not. But, you know, he's self-involved and
he's a rich white guy is what he is.
I know.
That's what Phil is.
And it is an amazing career, though. He won as an amateur.
Yep.
He's the last guy to win a regular event as an amateur. I mean, he great, great talent. Took him a long time to win a major, and he's got six since then. Once he won one, he could take the club back. And amazing set of hands, that's for sure. Round the greens, he can do magical stuff. He isn't a great putter, but he's round the greens. But I covered him a lot, and I walked out of more than one of his press conferences in the room there because he was going on and on and on and on. Because he's a great non-answer of questions.
Oh, sure.
Because he gets off on a tangent and tries to direct people into these tangents that he wants to get on. And he's always got something, some theory that he's passing on as this, because it keeps him from talking about any real stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So, but hey, congratulations to him. He's a, It's, you know, he's probably now going to be considered one of the five greatest players of all time. I think this takes him out of the top 10 and probably puts him in the top five. So he, Tiger, Jack, Arnie, I suppose, although I'm not sure about that. And the old timers would say Hogan. I don't know. But I think he's probably in the discussion now. That's for
Who's
sure.
Who's your fifth then?
Well, I don't know anything about Hogan, but
right. But no, I'm saying if you don't know about
Arnie,
him, who would you put in your
Trevino?
Fifth?
I love Trevino. He was man. He could play. He could play with a, you know, he never hit the ball up over his head line drive, but had magic hands too. He could. I followed him around once at Augusta late in his career. And he was just entertaining the crowd for a practice round, and he was, you know, hitting a ball out of a bunker and having it roll back 30 yards to the guy. I mean, he could make the ball talk.
That's the damnedest thing when guys
can
do that.
They can do that. Yeah, he was great. So, all right. Phil, I guess. Is our
so you'd like to congratulate Phil, but you find him insufferable.
Yes, I do. Yes, and he didn't play that good. He played better than... He
played well for an old man.
Played that better than that guy, but Kevin Streelman was chasing him. Okay.
Okay, so Jack's win at Augusta in 86 still exceeds this one?
No, because I think this golf course is way tougher than Augusta.
So this was more impressive.
Yeah, to me it is.
Despite the fact that he didn't...
Well, what's impressive to me is he shot 73, which is okay, but I thought he might shoot 80. Because as soon as he hit one in the weeds, I thought he'd hit four in the weeds and get into his head. But he hit
it's
a
meditation,
couple.
Meditation, Pat.
He hit a couple. Yeah, right. That's right. Meditation.
He found the Maharishi.
I got to get in that meditation before I start writing. I got to sit there and close my eyes.
How would you go about it? Bleep you, Maharishi. Listen, you yogi.
Yeah. That's... You know, he reminds me of Dale Brown. That's who he reminds me of. Remember Dale Brown, LSU coach?
Yeah, LSU, yeah.
Oh, God, I love that guy. He was the craziest SOB that ever lived. He was at one Final Four, and it was all about God, right?
Yeah.
And then about 4 years later, he was at another Final Four, and he was talking about how organized religion is a bunch of BS. I don't know what happened. He went from He went from preacher Dale to it's all a bunch of BS, you know. So I don't know what happened.
Well, that's quite the metamorphosis.
Yes, guy could recruit, but he couldn't coach a lick, man. He had Shaq and Chris Jackson, and he couldn't do it. Unbelievable. I was at their loss of the. Can't remember where it was. Who beat them? It was they didn't get the Final Four that year, but Shaq and Chris Jackson, and he went up to the podium. He also had that Stanley Roberts,
great big guy, seven footer.
So he had 2 7 footers, and he basically went up and announced Chris Jackson was leaving before Chris Jackson really said anything. But Chris Jackson had told him he was probably leaving. He went up and announced that Chris was going to the NBA because he didn't want Chris shooting 25 times. He wanted somebody just throw the ball to his two big monsters.
Right.
But I think Roberts ended up getting hurt, and it didn't work out for him. But, he was nuttier than a fruitcake. So, anyhow, that's it. That's my theory on him. You're fighting wild.
Yeah, fighting. Yeah.
If they have a goal taken away, they just pout. Huh? They don't care.
Sure,
they
seems that
down.
Way.
I mean,
what happens? That's my
question.
The
most hockey I watched.
Yep.
Was the last period and a half of Game 3. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean the breakouts for getting the puck out of the zone for Vegas was unbelievable. It was like. It was like Edina skating against who? You know, Edina skating against St. Cloud Tech or something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was they just.
No,
zoom.
They did whatever they wanted.
Yeah, it was incredible.
These last five periods have been awful.
Mm-hmm. Especially. Now, they had some shots
they had like 35 shots. But I mean, it's shots on goal. Mm-hmm. Well, Fleury's been good, but you know what? It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs. Goaltenders play well.
Yeah.
But whatever they had going for them in the first two games in the first period of game three, mm-hmm. I don't know where it went.
Yeah.
It's the damnedest thing.
Well, what have they done to the Ruski?
Well, they bumped him and they've but here's the thing. The Ruski wasn't prepared for the fact that in the playoffs, it's way more difficult.
Because they just take all your space away.
Your time and space is taken mm-hmm. away. Now there is a thought that he's hurt, but until they come out and tell us he's hurt, I'm not just going to go down. But he has one assist. He has one assist and eight shots on goal in four games.
Well, people are talking about Vegas's size advantage. They might have a size advantage, but we got the monster line.
Yeah.
Why don't they impose their size? Why doesn't Greenway impose the fact that he's the biggest hockey player in the world?
Because he comes and goes, Pat. He comes and goes. Mm-hmm. At times he plays well, and at times you don't see him.
Well, I was listening to a broadcast in Game 1 when the Vegas announcers were talking about, man, this team is big, talking about the
Wild.
Wild, yeah, so. Now, defensively, they aren't really. So
no, but I mean but you can't tell me that Vegas is the better team, and I get that. Okay,
not this much better.
No, exactly. And go back and watch the first two games, and again, the first period of Game 3. You can't tell me that the last five periods are explainable.
No,
I mean Fleury's played well. That's fine, but you have looked. I don't know if you're pouting. I don't know what the hell happened. But it's been a complete change from what we saw.
My new favorite hockey player is Stone, though.
Oh, he's a tough son of a buck.
And I saw him being interviewed after the game or between periods. You look at him,
yep.
You say, hockey player.
Yep.
He's got the bent nose.
Yep.
And that he's, how old is he, 30?
Probably around 30,
looks 50. Yep. You know, he looks 50.
Oh, yeah.
But you can just tell they aren't going to lose because he took 20 seconds off. You know?
Right. No, you're right.
He is unbelievable.
You're right.
He's Wes Walls only twice as big,
mm-hmm.
you know? But the approach is the
same.
He's
29, yes.
Yeah. But, God, where'd they get him? Have they always had him?
No, the Senators. Big trade.
Oh, they would. So this year,
big trade 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
yes.
They went and got him, huh?
Yes.
Have they always played tough, or were they more of a when they first?
They
came
were more
in the
of
league?
A high. They were more of a scoring team early, and now they're tougher and bigger.
And has that been their style the last couple of years? Then?
They fired their coach. They fired Gerard Gallant a couple of years ago, which was a huge shock.
Yeah,
brought in this DeBoer and got a little. I think they got bigger at that point.
Who's he's been in the league? Too.
Oh God, he's another one of these. He was actually in San Jose, got fired in season, and then I think Vegas a few months after that blew out Gallant, and in the same season.
So Gallant comes out, takes him to the finals in year one,
and gets
fired
out
in year two.
No, I think it was year three by then.
Well, how many have they played now? Is this five?
I think it was five, yeah.
What's who's their GM out there?
It is now.
Oh, they fired the GM?
Too? No. They kicked him upstairs. George McPhee was their GM when they went to the Cup. Kelly McCrimmon was his assistant, but then teams came around trying to hire McCrimmon.
Oh,
So McPhee kicked himself upstairs to president,
mm-hmm.
and McCrimmon is now their GM.
All right, and they got the crazy owner, right?
Bill Foley.
Yeah, Bill
Foley. But, I mean, he's probably great, but yeah.
Yeah, he was, goofier now, right? He wanted to basically name the team after the Air Force or whatever the hell he was in.
Yeah,
right? So.
Yeah, he is a Vegas eccentric, I think you could safely say.
So now when Seattle is not going to get as good a deal in player personnel, right?
Well, they're going to have the same rules.
Really?
Yes. When you pay $500, I think it was $500 million for Vegas, it's $550 for Seattle. When you pay that, you basically get to get good. Now, they're not, I think teams are going to have learned from the last time, though.
No,
so the Alex Tuck trades, I think, are out.
Okay, so those teams are just going to lose who they lose.
But by the way, Vegas doesn't have to participate.
Really?
The league gave them an exemption.
Wow.
So they don't have to protect anybody. They don't have to lose a player.
Oh, that would irritate me.
How about that? They're one of the better teams. They're really? One of the best teams in the league.
That was...
They were given an exemption.
So when... At the time that they
I don't
got
know
the,
when it got written
next,
in.
Next expansion team, maybe. We don't have to participate.
At some point, they were absolved from the expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the best teams will lose nobody.
Wow. Well, that's how...
My league.
Boy, Colorado went through St. Louis like hot knife through butter, as they say. Huh?
Yeah. I told you, when they play well, like when they care...
They're interested.
They're great. Oh, yeah, they're very much now, but I mean...
St. Louis never got Tarasenko back, right?
No, they did. He just sort of struggled.
They just kind of...
His shoulder might be shot.
Yeah, wow.
Which is bad news, which is really too bad.
Why did they play our boys so tough?
I think because our guy... I think we're seeing it now. I think our guys wilt. I really do. I think when our guys get pushed back, I didn't see this coming, but the only explanation that I can come up with now is... When our guys are really pushed around, I think they don't know what to do.
You got to play Boldy tonight.
According to Russo, he is not playing.
Put him out there. If he scores a goal, you got life. Because everybody will get excited.
You're not going to play him. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know what we need tonight? We need the old Sonmore with the chalkboard in Boston Garden documenting who's going to fight whom. That's what we need.
Well, and you got to start with Greenway and Eck getting in the fights.
And Foligno.
The big boys.
They got to draw the
Foligno,
diagram.
Foligno seemed to take the penalty fairly well, at least verbally. The goal being not the penalty.
Oh, the goal being taken away?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was surprisingly...
Yeah, I thought he might be irate.
But you're right. They just it's amazing that they've, to me, just folded mentally after those.
All right.
It should take you off.
I want to talk a little about the NBA.
Okay.
How do you like a league that when that is completely paranoid about COVID protocols?
Yep.
Unless the best player in the league and the legend of legends breaks COVID protocols and you don't do anything about it?
This is Patrick Gracie with the Canopy Group. What does dedication, perseverance, resilience, and accomplishment best describe today? The Canopy Group believes it's the graduating classes of 2021. What we are most proud of for these graduates is their ability to overcome challenges in their pursuit of future opportunities. True to their perseverance and resiliency, these students are finding new ways to celebrate their milestones and their success on this journey. It puts a smile on all of our faces as we drive through communities and see dozens and thousands and hundreds of yard signs. It is amazing what these graduating students have gone through, and they deserve the spotlight, for they are Minnesota's future. Please join the Canopy Group in honoring your friends, relatives, and neighbors who represent the graduating classes of 2021.
Unbelievable.
Is it?
No, I mean, it is.
Is it unbelievable?
It's unbelievable that they tried to explain it. They've suspended guys for being a... didn't Kyrie or one of them go to some...
Yes, I got... Yes.
Or Harden. It was Harden went to a...
Oh, no, I thought Kyrie went to an advertising gathering.
Absolutely the same thing.
Stuck him on the list.
As LeBron went, and he had to sit for 10 days or 2 weeks, which he probably enjoyed. But it's unreal. It's incredible that you know damn well ABC or somebody. You can't take LeBron out of the game, for God's sakes.
So what the hell? What was their excuse? That he had been vaccinated and that everybody had shown their vaccination card and so this wouldn't be a problem?
Yeah. What did we come up with here? In other words, it's incredible. That said, the NBA playoffs actually have some competitive first-round matchups this year. You know, usually when you look now at most of them, like six of the eight, you don't know who's going to win. Usually you say, well,
right,
you know, four or five might be close, but everything else, you know who's in the next round. I think that's because the only super team is Brooklyn. And, everybody else is kind of, the Lakers with... Davis not healthy and LeBron getting old and Phoenix pretty damn good. It's actually fairly competitive first round of playoffs, which is very unusual for them. I'm very worried about Tibbs. So
are you worried about your Knicks?
I was worried about
my Knicks.
I love
the fact that you're now a diehard Knicks fan.
Oh, diehard Knicks fan. Love the Knicks.
Love you and Spike. you should go to Spike, the garden and sit by Spike. I guess Spike is very happy right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, not with
glory.
The 2-point loss, though. Yeah. Well, the Knicks, my guy Tibbs, if I had any advice to give him, I'd say quit getting behind 15 points in the first quarter every bleeping game because it's too hard to get out of that hole every game, right?
Yep.
Then you got to play poor Julius 42 minutes instead of 39.
And he's going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Julius didn't have a good game yesterday, though. That kind of beat us.
He's gotten himself into incredible shape, though. I mean, he is a damn good player now.
Oh, God. He's probably going to finish second or third MVP award. So anyway,
amazing thing is this, Pat.
I've watched a few minutes of it this year. Usually I ignore the first round of the NBA playoffs completely.
So to what you said, so the Nets have this super team now,
yes.
Right? Like they got Durant and they've got Harden and they got Kyrie.
Yeah, who all basically are rested because they all took at least half the season off, you know.
And I guess nobody in New York gives a damn.
Really?
They only, like,
they all
it's all Knicks fever.
All
it's all Knicks fever.
Yep. Well, I got news for them. If they were to get Brooklyn in the playoffs, they wouldn't come within 20. The talent, I mean, it helps when you have the three best players on the floor.
Yes.
When they're, you know,
yes.
That really helps.
Yes, that's very
that
true.
That really helps. So, you know, you could be as scrappy as you want to be if they ever played each other. But, yeah, well, it is amazing. I mean, the Knicks, now, I'm sure they didn't fill the building for years, but they've sold it out for forever.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They hadn't been in the playoffs since 13 or what? No, they hadn't.
Fan base wants them to be relevant,
yes.
So badly.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I don't blame them. It's fun when they're good.
No, but as much as they love Tibbs now, if they end up getting swept by the Hawks and then start off poorly next, get him out of here!
So does year two come back and bite Tibbs in the ass like it did here too as well? Because...
Well, no, because
these guys playing so much.
No, because he probably won't. He won't trade for unless Jimmy Butler becomes available.
He'll trade for him. Oh, are you kidding?
Trade quickly and trade all his young guys for him.
But
right?
I mean, he does play guys so much that there has to be a shelf life on some of these.
There's only one point guard he trusts now. Poor old Derrick.
Derrick Rose. He's going to be in a wheelchair someday, dribbling down the court.
Derrick, yeah, he's going to be a. Yeah, I mean, he's. You know, he doesn't start. He starts as Elfrid Payton, who he obviously hates. But whenever the game's online, Derrick's playing like the entire second half. He's playing 30 minutes, you know.
Poor guy.
And he's taking like 18 shots a game. It's incredible. He trusts him implicitly. So it is hilarious. I love it. I love it. It's kind of fun here. So I suppose we should discuss our ball club.
Yeah. Yes.
We might have the new relief pitcher. Is it Hamaker? What's his name? Kids at, he was at AA. He just got called up to the Saints.
Yeah.
Tom Hamaker, I believe. Hamiker.
I'll find it. I did not.
He saved it last night. He's the second coming of Neshek. Throws sidearm.
Really?
Sidearm guy. And, a month ago, somebody texted me and says, tell him to call up Hamaker or Hackamer, I think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Hackimer.
I'm looking it up right now.
He's a sidearmer. He's like 26, which is young by the standards of the...
Tom Hackamer. Hackimer.
He'll be next. He's got next.
Right-hander, 5'11", 195.
You know that they, on this whole trip, only had 12 pitchers.
Oh my God, no!
They got to.
He's 26.
Probably got to figure something out. But hey,
who do you trust out there, Pat?
Well, Judd. Oh, the pitching. I don't trust any of them. Rogers to some extent, but
yep.
But what the hell? What are they going to do? Kepler can't run to me.
Doc Rock got him out of there yesterday.
I mean, Doc Rock. I mean, I don't know if it's Doc Rock or you just got the worst.
You can't run.
I mean, yeah. Kepler's, when you got to put garlic in for defensive purposes for Kepler, that's bad. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you got him. Polacco's a cripple. We don't use cripple
anymore. I don't think you can say that.
I can say cripple.
We don't even say disabled list.
Cripple.
I think cripple might be pushing it.
Why didn't cripple get to be a... What's wrong with cripple?
Oh, there's a lot of words I can't explain that for, but we don't want to go down that path.
Okay. Disabled. Okay. You know.
Load?
Polacco. He's hurt. Right.
And he's not just hurt, Pat. It's the same ankle
chronic
they keep
bad ankle.
Surgically
Why
repairing.
Why is he not DL'd? Why did they keep him
I don't know.
On the roster?
They're supposed to have an update today, but I mean, this is like the third time, Pat.
Yeah, I know.
They've surgically repaired this thing twice.
And supposedly, he's been toughing it out. Then Louis slides into second base and goes all go-go. Did you see that?
Yes.
Goes go-go Gomez. I thought we were going to have to sedate him, put him to sleep like a horse, and then he's back out playing the next inning. That was go-go classic right there.
Yes.
But he's hurt. I mean, everybody's hurt. What is the hell is going on? You know who their Iron Man is? Donaldson.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's playing every day.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I got another verdict. I like Simmons as a defensive, as a fielding shortstop, but
yep.
He's not a good player. He's a decent shortstop, but he's a goofball at the plate. He's not going to get a big hit for you.
He doesn't have great at-bats.
I'll move him if I can.
Oh, yeah.
Play somebody
else. I love the idea of a good shortstop, but I don't think that's been a fit internally.
People are talking about who they're going to move. I can tell you who they're going to move. Berríos and Rogers.
Okay, hold on a second. Berríos.
He's going to get moved.
I mean, is this a gut feeling? Are you?
No. They haven't signed him.
Okay.
They got one more year left of him.
Okay.
This is based on them still being 20 games, 15 games under 500 or whatever. You know, no hope, which there is no hope.
Correct.
I think you'll get traded because you'll get something.
Interesting.
I think they're only...
Heyman tweeted last week that it was a tweet that was him speculating, but it was clear he had talked to people that said it wouldn't be surprising if Toronto
goes after Berríos.
Yes.
And they make that trade. And by the way, if John Heyman is writing it, he's got a guy in the Twins that I won't get into, but he's got a guy in the Twins that tells him stuff.
It was a Morosi.
Oh, Morosi.
Morosi. Well, then he might be just guessing. If it was Heyman, I'd say, if it was Heyman, I'd believe it a lot more. Because Heyman's wired in with this team here. So,
and you think they'll move Rogers as well? Or try to move him?
They'll move him if they're not going to say, here, you can have Taylor Rogers.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying, it's enough of trading these guys that you get nothing back for.
Right.
Simmons
won't get
you. If you're going to have to redo it here, redo it with Berríos and Rogers, you know, because you're not going to get, you know, Pineda's going to get you, you know, some double A guy that might have you know.
And Hap's going to get you nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to, if you want to get...
Shoemaker, you might have to pay to get
You know,
rid
you're going
to
get Gilberto Celestino and stuff. Well, Shoemaker is...
No, I know. I was joking.
He's pitching tonight, by the way, against John Means. The two teams with the worst record in baseball are battling tonight, the O's and the Twins. Mm-hmm. But the O's got this kid lefty who's already pitched a no-hitter with an ERA under 2. And the Twinks are breaking out the shoe. By the way, do you see who's in the Orioles bullpen?
No.
Brandon Waddell.
Oh, that's right. They picked
called him up
tonight.
They called him
Watch
up.
Watch him come in and base loaded.
They called him up
and
yesterday.
Shove.
They first had him in their AAA. And they also have a Rule 5 guy from the Twins, Tyler Wells, who the Twins thought was a prospect. But I don't know. Actually, I think this is really stretching, but They're a little better the last 4 or 5 days. You know, I mean, there's a little something going on.
The Twins?
They're not good, but they're not comatose.
Right.
You know, since L.A., actually, they played okay in L.A., split that doubleheader, and came home and had one putrid game, but there's like, they don't seem to be corpses, though. And by the way, what happened to Nelly Cruz? He stayed in the game. Now he hasn't played for 3-4 days. What the hell?
He got hit.
I know, but yeah. What happened to it? Usually he's the toughest guy of all.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I know.
Can't swing?
They have a bench like...
They have no bench.
They have Astudillo as their bench, but they can't use him as a...
Because now he's a catcher.
All over because now he's their backup catcher.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux Community.
Why didn't they keep a real backup catcher?
I think because they ran out of roster.
Like Astudillo is a third
because
catcher.
Because they were trying to keep Polanco and these guys who couldn't play off from putting them on the injured list. Putting them on a deal. So
why?
Well, because they think they can play after 3-4 days instead of
that's the old Terry Ryan twin school.
Polanco was out. Yeah, well, that was also when the DL was 15 days too. You know, when Terry did that, when the DL was 15 days, it made
sense.
But
Astudillo can't be your backup catcher. That's my point. Like you need a real backup
catcher.
Well,
he can be, but he can be, but you want him to be able to be super utility guy and come up and get you an at bat.
That's what I'm saying. He can't be because the options are now he can't play unless he's going to the catch.
So
Big Miguel.
Huh?
Miguel is on the hot streak right now. Sano is. He's on the hot streak.
Yeah, but he's
can
the
he
other
keep
day.
It up?
Yeah, no, hell no.
Can he keep it up to trade him?
The other day he hits the home run. He gets to Cleveland, hits the home run right off the bat, right?
Yes.
Wow, he's hot. 4 strikeouts, boom, boom, boom.
I know.
Boom. I mean, he's the worst thing that happens to Miguel is he hits a couple of home runs and then he's going to, instead of doing what he did on that ball, center cut, hit it straight out to center field.
Yep.
Kill the tree out in center field. Fantastic. After that, rest of the game. I don't think there's a lot going on up there.
No, there's not.
I don't think. I think it's just, you know, that I think he loses track from one bat to the next of what he wants to do. It's, I'd move him because I want to play Kirilloff at first base.
Yes.
That's the main reason I'd move him.
He got some action.
But you might be able to move him because, you know, like, If you listen to the national broadcast and stuff, they're saying Sano is hot. You know, maybe the perception is he's hot.
And he played some Miami's, third base on Sunday too.
Yeah,
I'd try and say he could still play third a little bit.
I think Miami is a place for him because they have no offense down there, and he's not that ungodly expensive. You know, mm-hmm. He's got one more year left, and they need some punch, and you know, maybe somebody. Yeah, I'd trade him but you're going to have to give me a halfway decent pitcher, you know. You're going to have to give me somebody,
that,
you know, got a chance. If they wanted to give you Max Meyer, I'd make that trade.
Oh, I'd make that now.
Speaking of Max Meyer, how about our Gophers? Oh, that was a courageous victory. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
16 straight losses.
Yeah.
4-29. Last home game of the season.
Senior day. Yeah, I saw.
The seniors are all walking around with their heads down out of embarrassment. And they get 3 in the ninth and win it 9-8.
Take that, Purdue.
And, well, you know what? I bet they had fun jumping around, don't you think? If you've lost 16 in a row.
Like the Twins did in 11 when they celebrated not reaching the 100.
Yes, yes.
They came out and
I would have thought
stuff.
This would have been the same, yes. Oh. I thought that was fun. When they did it, when they avoided 100, because I think there was a little satire in it.
Oh God, don't give them credit for that.
No, I would.
Oh, I don't think there was any satire.
Dozier was on that team. They could have been having a little fun.
That was a Dozier Plouffe special. I bet they hit the bars that night.
Next time I talk to Plouffe, I'll ask him. Did you guys want to celebrate, or were you just having fun with us?
But the Gopher, how the hell did they get this bad?
It's unbelievable. They're pitching. It's honest to God. they couldn't get out Augsburg. You know,
clearly
their
not.
Their pitching is horrible.
Yeah,
their pitching is. I mean, they go out and give up. Patrick Fredrickson, 2018 when they went to the. It was 18. They went to Super Regional, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were good.
Yes.
That was the best fielding college team I've ever. They were damn near. They were AAA level fielding. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Center field. They were great. They were great everywhere fielding wise. They had enough hitting, and they had Max Meyer as their closer, as a sophomore, and they had this Fredrickson kid as a freshman. Or no, they were both freshmen, Meyer and him, and he was fantastic. Strike throwing machine. You'd go out there, you'd have an 11 pitch inning. He was All American as a freshman, and he's unusable.
What?
It's the last.
Well, can't throw strikes.
The next year he wasn't very good, and the last 2 years, I mean, they didn't play much last year. But he's unusable. He's like they used him again yesterday, and I think he got one out and four hits and Walker. I mean, three, four. I don't know what happened. I don't know what John Anderson told me that he tried to get more velocity because the people. The scouts type of people said he needed to throw harder because he only threw like 90, but that seems like too simple of an explanation for me. There's got to be something else wrong.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had arm trouble. He just can't get anybody out.
Jeez.
But it's mysterious. I'm you know, kind of like some of those Gopher basketball players for Munson who were terrific as freshmen, mediocre as sophomores. A little less than mediocre as juniors and unusable as seniors, you know, kind of the Munson effect.
Yeah, that's
so,
really weird.
Yeah,
so is John coming back?
His contract's up.
Yeah, I know. And
it's up to them. Somebody told me that they're going to give him 2 years, but they're going to want him to take a pay cut as part of the whole.
You know who John needs right now? John needs Sid. Could drop in a jotting that he's talking to Duke.
Duke or Georgia or Georgia. How many times, different times was he going to Georgia?
Oh, God. It was one of the great
yeah,
Sid.
It was every year.
Sid, when John's contract was close to being up, one of the jotting staples.
I wonder if John wants to do, I mean, he's you know, he obviously doesn't want to leave with this staring
That's
at
not,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's the prospect for being better next year? I don't know. I heard that they might have a transfer problem and because some, you know, kids now they get depressed and say, well, I'm going to go someplace else.
This transfer portal thing is,
you know, the baseball, everybody talks about basketball, football, baseball, you needed a waiver too. It wasn't free transfer either. Now it's free, so you can get out now.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, baseball was the third sport for the men that you couldn't transfer just freely.
This is incredible, though.
How about
all these guys moving?
What is I was trying to talk to our guy Marcus the other day. What in the hell's going on with basketball?
Oh, they've got
one
guy back.
What is going on? Both.
I've asked Doogie the same question. So
how's Both spell his guy? Is a
Gotch. Boothgotch.
Boothgotch. He, by all accounts, couldn't stand Patino. He stays here.
I know.
He's got a chance to be a star, and he leaves. Where's he going? It's his second transfer, too.
Yeah, I know. He came
he
here
needs
from
a waiver, so
Utah,
he's gotta,
I think, right?
He's got to find some other. He doesn't
So
get
he does need one? Oh, so he doesn't get the freebie that he got?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
but
that.
I think the Gophers will give it to him, but then he's got to find somebody who wants a two-time transfer.
I know.
He's going to end up at Wisconsin, Green Bay or some damn
right.
place, you know?
Yep.
But what's wrong with it? I don't get it.
Doogie told me that Kelscher decided to get out in like January.
Kelscher, I was told, not by Mark or somebody else told me that he really, the way the fans got on him really affected him, that he got killed on social media. So like, I'm not sure he was paranoid about it, but he just says, I want to go somewhere where they don't hate me, you know? So he's, where'd he end up? Iowa State?
Iowa State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but that was a weird one because Thorson coached him.
Yeah, I know.
That was, if you bring in Thorson and you can't keep Kelscher, what the hell? I don't know how hard they tried to keep these guys.
But they've got, yeah, they got one.
I mean, somebody told me, too, that, like, Trey Williams, here's his big screw-up, is he didn't keep Conroy.
Yeah, that's, yes.
Conroy would have kept Leon.
Yes, because they're related.
And apparently Conroy was real tight with Trey Williams, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So what? So you're just throwing darts for your assistant coaches. Why not let Conroy stay for a year, you know? Because Conroy's been around, you According know, and to he's Duke, got a good relationship with some
Duke
of the...
Duke said the same thing that you just said, but he said the problem was by bringing in Thorson, who is an older white assistant coach, yeah. Conroy's the same, and that I think they were trying to have more diversity on the staff.
Well, they could have hired a young, dynamic black guy this year, and then...
I know. No. Yeah,
let,
you're right.
Let Liam stay
right.
And try to... They have no centers.
Nope.
They have no...
I think they have one guy with any size right now.
They got a chance to lose them all unless they do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting transfers from William and Mary. They're going to have two starters from William and Mary, or Bill and Mary, as we used to call it.
And that place is going to be empty when they allow fans in.
Yeah, because Ben... The Gopher fans, Gopher basketball fans have became disillusioned enough with Patino. And they also have discovered what a pain in the ass it is to go to a game at Williams Arena in the middle of the winter, right?
Yep.
It's you got to park someplace. You got to freeze to death. You got to get rid of your coat.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is that they're so turned off by Patino, and then you didn't give them a high profile replacement.
This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush, and EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's ECOFUN Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained. Meanwhile, the other guy, Craig Smith, the guy that everybody wanted to get hired from Utah State who went to Utah.
Yep.
Killing it in the transfer portal.
Oh, he's doing well?
He's getting like big-time recruits in the transfer portal.
Yeah, he might be a very smart man.
Anyway, it's, wow. I don't know.
But they are going to be awful.
They better hope the little man wins some football games right out of the bat because they got, hockey's going to be really good, but will that result in people going back?
No, that doesn't fix things.
They can maybe have 6,000 instead
of 45. You need basketball or football to be good.
Yeah.
Or preferably both at some point in time.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Motzko having a good team is not going to fix the problem you're talking about.
Good luck to Ben, but wow.
And again, nothing's cheap.
No.
You know, it's not cheap to go anywhere now.
Twins games.
Yeah, I saw the $5
buck tickets.
Till today.
They told me. I listened 3 days
on Monday.
Ago. They said it was going to be just one day.
Oh, now it's Monday. Oh, they'll keep it going then.
Keep it. You know what? You're bad. And what happened over the weekend downtown doesn't help either.
Hell no.
You know.
No, I mean, we have to acknowledge that.
Yes.
Like, people from the suburbs are not going to want to go down there.
A student from St. Thomas
yes.
gets, wantonly shot out on the street. For,
yeah. It's a 2 a.m., but
nothing
still.
Nothing to do with it.
That's going to have, yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
And guess what, too? On campus, look at the police reports.
Yes.
You got the same type of problems.
Yeah.
Shootings, muggings, people having their cell phones stolen. Yeah, that's going to have a definite impact.
But, you know, that, yeah, they opened it up to everything. They, you know, the Twins have... I've always said the Twins were coming off. They opened Target Field. They drew, 3.4?
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was a great summer. And their projections in building that place were for, things to continue in the standings as they had, you know?
Right.
They expected to be pushing $3 million for another 5, 6, 7 years, and they went in the tank. And then this year, there was a lot of optimism.
Yep.
And they were saying, man, if we can open it up in June, look out. We'll have to keep them away with a fire hose. And now you're selling $5 tickets. Yeah. And hope somebody buys them. Yeah.
It's a disaster.
It was a disastrous year to disappoint everybody.
Yes. And guess what? The sport that you play as a whole right now is pretty damn boring.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Have you looked at the averages of teams, Pat?
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
The Seattle Mariners are last. They're hitting .200 as a team.
By the way, I was converted on a conversation that I heard on the baseball MLB radio network Friday or so.
Yep.
Some of these outfits do these incredibly exotic statistics. And at that point, 400 hits had been created by the shift. And 1,050 had been taken away by the shift. In other words.
Interesting. Yeah.
I
get it.
Well, so that would be 650 more hits. But you got to know that they're going to be shifting to, even in the old days, they would have been shifting to some degree, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So let's say but they said the batting average, which I think is .235 now for baseball, would be .251 without the shift.
Interesting.
Which would be more acceptable.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think they're going to have to do it. I think it's
illegal defense.
Yeah, I think
I've talked about it for a long time. Yeah,
and I never thought I thought it was silly, but and then I'm thinking, well, in football, you got to line up a certain way.
Yep.
And other sports, you got to line up a certain way.
There are a lot of things that have been done in all sports.
Zone defense and basketball.
You got offense.
Yeah. I think they're going to do it, and it's not now. Maybe keeping the feet on the infield dirt would. You'll be able to hit it through, you know, if you can't have the second baseman short right field.
Which is the one that drives me the most crazy.
Yeah, I mean, those should be base hits. But here's what's going to be interesting. What are they going to do up the middle? Where's the line going to be? Because the other place that hundreds of hits are being taken away is the rocket right over the pitcher's
right
mound
behind
and
second
the guy
base.
Standing there.
I
think you're going to have to do it like this.
Yes.
You're gonna have to make
I think you keep everybody positionally on the side of the base that they're supposed to be playing.
Yes, but I mean, if the guys, how close can the shortstop to play the second base?
To the bag, but not behind it.
Well,
because if you can backhand that ball, I'll give you credit.
Yeah.
If you're the second baseman and you backhand it, or you're the shortstop. But what I don't want is you. I don't want you behind
right
directly
there.
Behind the bag.
Well, I'm wondering is if you want to get them away from the bag even more than that, though.
Okay.
So that, you know.
But I'm just saying.
Let's face it.
Put them where they belong.
If they did then what they do now, Joe Mauer's career batting average would have been .285. Because he got.
Yes.
He got 30 hits a year in the Metrodome, ripping it right up the middle.
Yes.
Right? Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they got to do something, though. It's, you know, when you look in the paper and say, I wonder who got the no-hitter last night. I mean, that's the no-hitters. They used to.
Six of them this year.
They used to. And the newspaper 20 years ago, if somebody had a no-hitter, you'd rip up the front page of the sports section.
I was in the department at the Star Tribune when we would do that.
Oh, we got a no-hitter. Yeah. Seventh inning, just, God, he's got
the
a no-hitter.
The AP advisory.
Now, sometimes it isn't the lead on the baseball roundup.
And it shouldn't be. No. We're one away from the single-season record. The
single-season record Madison is seven. Madison Bumgarner.
Yes, or yeah, or we
even,
have it.
Even though it's an official game, we don't count.
But you have to find a way to get the ball in play and generate offense. Yes. So you just have to. You can't keep going down this path.
I think I heard the other thing these guys were saying, 3-3. Three balls, three strikes.
Oh.
Because that would force the pitchers to
not nibble
as much. They'd have to throw it over the plate. They're going to do something dramatic, though. They got to do something.
I don't think an illegal defense is dramatic.
No, I don't either.
Like, that's just to me saying...
You're doing it in every other sport. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. But
You can't play zone defense. You got to play man-to-man.
But does it not drive you crazy when a guy rips a ball into right field and the second baseman is
standing there? Yeah. Yes, it does.
It drives me nuts.
But, you know, they did it with Ted Williams, but that was one hitter. You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I wonder if they get rid of the shift, if they're going to let the guy play out in the outfield. You know, the second baseman's still going to be able to play out there.
Oh, no, I think you'd have to. I think that's why they're experimenting in that one league with their spikes being on the dirt.
Yeah. They got to do something. I went up and talked to Bob Karn, the 80-year-old coach at St. Cloud Cathedral. I went up Friday and loves baseball, loves everything about it, but says, we got to get the ball in play.
Yeah,
he says we got to get the ball in play.
Exactly right.
Yeah. He also says, very interestingly, he said his players, they played the game growing up. They all love the game. They love to play. None of them watch.
Right.
They see the highlights.
Yep.
They look at.
And they probably watch basketball or something.
Yeah, they'll look at football. The highlights, but they don't watch the Twins games.
Yeah.
You know? So you got an issue. You better do something. I don't know what.
Well, and you unjuice the baseball this year, right?
Yes, and that's getting talked about a lot more now because it was supposed to be 1 or 2%. I think it's glad he was telling me in spring training when they actually let him in the stadium, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's a hell of a lot more than that.
Interesting.
I saw one in Florida that Garver killed the ball to center, you know. He's strong for all his problems. Killed the ball to center field and guy caught it like I said. That one's up in the juniper bushes 2 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they might as well go back to the lively ball, but they got to do something.
So absolutely. All right.
I've become anti-shift just from that conversation.
Welcome aboard. All right, Patrick. Thank you.
You bet.
Talk to you.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.